morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about, I'll be with you for about 55, 58 minutes today. The congressman, we'll see how long that goes. I am really honored. I even got dressed up in my red, white, and blue, got my patriotic tie on, because I knew Congressman Neal was coming out today. I only usually wear this day on Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and 4th of July. But because of the congressman, I dug it out. I want the congressman to understand that this is the morning after St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Here I am. Do you know why? Because it's Lent.
Yes.
That's right. So I enjoyed many glasses of diet soda and water at the last 4th of St. Patrick's Day party at the Elks Club, which was wonderful, Congressman.
All that water, you don't know what you're missing.
Oh, I know. I know. It's me saying to the Irish mother, would say, kill the taste of the water with a touch of Jameson. So what have you been doing in D.C.? Anything important?
You know, you've probably noticed that once again, it's the unending chaos. It's the announcements that every single day seem to alter and change. And then there is, I think, the cruelty of what is being done to a lot of federal employees who simply have been responsible for doing their jobs.
Yeah.
I think that they are depicting the federal employee as a villain. And the truth of the matter is these are essential services. I think the latest escapade, if I might describe it as that, is the decision to cut back with nuclear energy regulators.
Yeah.
That means those who are in charge of nuclear armaments in the United States are being laid off. And if you consider what's being done with USAID, when you consider the attack on Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, I think we all should be alarmed. Here's the thesis of what they're really trying to do. They're cutting all of these employees from these agencies. And once these employees are out and the phones are not being answered, when emails are not being answered, then they're going to say, this proves the government doesn't work. I mean, I think that's the strategy that they've employed. And now what's really bothersome is, and I try very hard to embrace the facts of public life and discussion, but what they're also getting ready to do is to tee up a big tax cut for very wealthy people. And I will say that there are more billionaires in this cabinet than I've ever recalled in American history. They've adopted a we're smarter than you are approach. As you know, in the last 24 hours or so, the Secretary of Commerce and the Secretary of Treasury, as well as the President, have all said, well, maybe a recession would be good for the American people. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I think I sit out here in the Berkshires and I interact with a lot of people in a week's time. And what I'm hearing, and I got my notes right here in front of me to ask the congressman, veterans are tighter than a $2 watch about the rumors of veterans cuts. Yet the Secretary of Veterans Affairs got on and said, there'll be no cuts in veterans benefits. Well, we'll see. Same with Social Security, in Medicare and Medicaid. I think me to you and everybody is watching, of course, and listening, slow up a little bit. I understand you're on this treadmill that you got, but to me, the other thing that I would have done, not no one asked, called or asked me, but I'll give you this for free. I would have had people who are familiar with the workings of government.
Precisely.
In every one of those situations. Now, do I agree what Elon's happening to Elon Musk and his cars and all? We don't need that in this country. That's burning, shooting. I kind of hope that calmer heads, and you, and I mean this because I think the world of you, you know that. And under full disclosure, I have known Congressman Neal since 1976. I had hair, not a lot, because I was in the police academy, and his hair was beautiful, long, and dark. So I don't know what's happened. He's too much in the sun. But and I want that to be known. But calmer heads Congressman, Comer has got to prevail on both sides.
Well, it's also this suggestion from the richest man in the world that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. What that implies is that Social Security is illicit and unlawful.
Right.
I think for those of us who are Social Security recipients, an earned benefit that we kicked into our entire lives would disagree with that suggestion.
And I agree.
This embrace that he also has about his hostility to government doesn't square with the loans he's taken from the federal government. Billions of dollars to get his cars off the assembly line.
Sure.
And he's benefited immensely from these loans. Tesla and places like that, they were not economically viable until the federal government loaned him money. And I've tried to keep, you know, fairly calm about this, say, let's fight back, let's push back. But I also think that we need to come to grips with the idea that Medicare and Social Security, they're earned benefits. And Medicaid, 73 million Americans benefit from Medicaid. It's extraordinary what it's done.
I have to reinforce what you just said, if I may.
Please.
And, you know, I have the greatest respect for you. You are one of the more common heads. Now, FYI, shared this with a couple of people. You, when you went to the inauguration, some local people thought that that was awful, awful. And, you know, I don't have any filters. So when I hear something that I don't think is right, at my age and my health, what do I care? What are they going to do, bury me? So I said, wait a minute, you don't understand. There's a protocol. There's tradition. There's collegiality, used to be a lot better, among the members for official things. This is our government. This is the seat of our – and, of course, Congressman Neal went because he's a – as traditionalist as they come, and he's as loyal to the system as they come. Well, and so I shared that. I share that with you because people are so on the edge today.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think part of framing the answer that you've correctly noted is, well, Joe Biden was there. Hillary Clinton was there.
Yeah.
They have reason to be upset, and they decided that it was important to be there to represent the people that had voted for them as well. And, you know, I think that if you were trying to read George Bush Jr.'s mind, I'm sure he was as distressed as everybody else was. Being at that inaugural doesn't mean that I applauded for what the president had to say. It's my point then, as I've said to him recently in conversation, that we're not going to applaud for cutting Medicaid or Social Security or Medicare or veterans benefits. I mean, my guest at the State of the Union was Michael Slater. Four tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah. And he loses his job at the Veterans Administration. This is nonsense. But do they want us in the room fighting, or do they want us only outside the room critiquing? We need to be there for the full-fledged battle. And that means resisting where you resist, and certainly not going along with these proposed cuts to government spending. The American people need this. You're starting to hear now from the agricultural department, which is a very important part of life across Berkshire County and Western Massachusetts. These thoughts that are being perpetrated on the American people about how government is so inefficient, government is so broken. These services are rendered to people who very much need them.
Well, I'm glad they saved. I don't know what you had to do with this, but I can tell you, as a veteran who uses the local clinic here, in the Silvio Oconte. Oh, by the way, for you folks that don't, he was a Republican, so I don't know why they were going to sell his building. But when that ever come out, I mean, you can't believe the uproar. And you know, you're got an office there with a wonderful staff person. And I sometimes think, and I repeat myself, but when you get to be my age, 76, no, my wife corrected me. On my next birthday, I'm going to be 78. So I missed a year there. But I deducted it, actually. The That building services so many people. Veterans would have to drive to Springfield or Holyoke or Albany. Take a look at our age group.
That's right.
Take a look at, I mean, we got young kids too, but most of the majority of us are old.
You have a congressional office there that
Yeah.
Joanne does a great job every day.
Oh, wonderful job. She's a great, great asset to your team.
She sure is. And you have on top of that, the Veterans Administration, you have the Social Security Administration.
Yep.
Listen, people rely on this. You know, if you've got somebody who's 88 years old or 90 years old, they are unlikely to be social media mavens or wizards.
Yeah.
But they do like walking in there and being serviced. They like being able to call there where the phone is answered. And look, if you've got a problem with the IRS, you can contact the congressional office there as well. These proposals to cut IRS spending, all that means is that wealthy people will not be audited.
Yeah.
And, you know, we put a lot of money into the IRS. Nobody cheers for tax collectors. But democracy functions based upon the ability of making sure that everybody pays their fair share.
Fair share.
We authored that legislation in the Ways and Means Committee. It was part of the Inflation Reduction Act. And the technological upgrades there are essential because of the modeling that will take place for tax avoidance. You can't have an agency that is outmaneuvered by professional tax lawyers and accountants on Wall Street. You need to make sure it's a fair battle. And I think that that's how it ensues. The IRS, since we began that initiative of upgrade, they have collected $1 billion from wealthy people in terms of tax. And the danger here is that you've got artificial intelligence coming along, which is going to be an important part of tax collections. You're going to have this ability, again, to model. But I don't know why Republicans are hostile to a tax collecting agency if they're doing their job. They make it sound as though these are people walking around with guns in the middle of the night. They generally are clerical staffers who pour through documents from third-party reporting, which is essential to our system.
And I the other piece I think too is is this, that we need a tax base.
Yes.
And I think you have worked along with so many others on both sides of the aisle to make it fair and equitable. And like you made a very good comment there, if you can afford a real fancy guy and a person, of course, at my salary, that would be a year's salary for them to do my taxes. But for those people that are up there, they can afford to all these, I think, simplify the code. Take out the loopholes and make it a piece of paper that I can fill out and submit.
Exactly right. Simplicity. Well,
complicated now, you have to hire these people.
The standard deduction has been raised. That's a very important consideration. So there are fewer people who itemize. But the problem we have, or challenges we have in the tax arena, are really international tax and its application.
Yeah.
We have in that arena what we call a pretty sophisticated tax avoidance. You will have dollars that are earned in Berlin, Paris, and other nations. And then the earnings are not reported there. They're reported in low tax jurisdictions in Bermuda or places like that. You need harmonization of international rates, and you also need to make sure those taxes are collected. The hostility that Republicans have to tax collection is just beyond me. That is not the way Silvio Conti would have felt. That is not the way Charlie Baker would have felt.
No.
We have this hostility now to tax collections, and I can only suggest that it protects people at the very top, because most people in the middle and the lower end, they don't itemize.
Right. And we've, you know, our guy said we because of the thing, and I, you know, I look at, we give to the church. I'm kind of drive by my way into heaven, and I've kicked it up now. I'm giving almost $650 a week now, but you see people. Yeah, I mean, I here's what I really wish, Congressman, and then we'll jump off of this. I really wish they would get back to teaching how government, how civics they used to call it, works, so that when you're out on the street and you're trying to have a conversation with someone. And They're repeating whatever they heard on television.
Sure, you're absolutely right. And here's the problem. When the president of the United States says that there are 300-year-olds receiving Social Security, that's a lie. Social Security, let me give you a statistic, Bill, which is remarkable for a federal agency. Social Security accurately pays benefits to people who have earned them 99.8% of the time. There is nobody 200 years old receiving a Social Security check. There's nobody 150 years old receiving a Social Security check. And if you look at the alleged savings that they've come up with all these programs, and they're saying, oh, it's in the tens of billions of dollars. You know what it is at the moment? It's about $2 billion. In a $34 trillion economy and with almost a $5 trillion budget.
I can remember when I was there, I forget what the exact number was, but they said, if it's not this, it's an asterisk in the budget. And you know, I come out of St. Charles Catholic School and said, wait a minute, I never heard of money like that before. What is that again? You know, but when you think about this, and I've been fortunate, I've traveled to other countries and lived in other countries, and see how some of those poor people have to live. And then you come home, and it's not panacea here, but boy, there's a lot of things that this government does for poor people. And I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose the veteran. You know, I once had a guy on the, I used to do a call-in show, but then I matured and said, I don't need to talk to these people every day. But and then they would send me hate mail after. So it didn't make any difference. But had a guy, excuse me, said, you know, oh, what are you talking about? Now, this guy never hardly worked a day in his life. He always had some injury or something. He said, what are you talking about? You guys, you veterans, you're on the dole. Look at all the veterans' disability benefits you guys got. And I said, the difference is we paid a price to get them.
You earned them.
Yeah. And I think going in agreeing 100% with you, people have paid into Social Security believing, and I didn't mean to yell, I'm sorry, believing that that would come back to them.
Sure. So let me give you another number here. The average Social Security benefit is $24,000 a year.
Yeah.
That means that half the people who receive Social Security receive less than $24,000 a year. Nobody is getting rich on Social Security.
Trust me.
But the supplemental income that it provides, along with personal savings and retirement, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
That's the essential consideration. The number of women who receive Social Security solely as their support system in retirement is astounding.
Yep.
Bill, half the people, this is another number that, because I've done a lot of work in this retirement space over the years, half the people that get up and go to work every day in America are not in a qualified retirement plan.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. And that in and of itself should be addressed down the road.
Yeah, we should be using the tax system to help those folks out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know, Congressman, you've been there and you paid your dues and you know how the system. What, and I'll say this, what does the party gain, our Democrats, Republicans, whatever, when some elected Yahoo, gets on television and spurts all this, and I don't care what side it's on.
Yeah.
I mean, what has happened? You know, when I was there, they were collegial. You know that.
Yeah.
You got to be pulling your hair out to see the transformation of what was a collegial decisive body that could come together for the good. You ready for this one? For the good of the people.
Yeah, that basic premise.
Yeah.
Well, the other part of it that's very alarming is that when you also look at the collegiality that you referenced,
yeah,
it was all because we agreed on a certain basis of fact. These are the facts. So with the distortion today that takes place with disinformation, back to a 300-year-old receiving Social Security, and it's not challenged by the Republican Party when that is stated. When you look at the idea that Social Security is alleged by Musk, it's a Ponzi scheme, and they don't say a word. And my point is that when you look at the Medicare system, one of the best things about Medicare is it assumes retirement at 65.
Exactly.
You're in. You just joined the club at 65.
Yep.
And I suggest that because it's changed the way the American people live. All for the better. When you look at the Veterans Administration, even with what we've done with the PAC Act,
right,
it's changed everything. And these are people that serve the country honorably, in many cases back with wounds, some very severe.
Yeah.
And then when you hear people say, well, what's a veteran's benefit disability? It's the real thing. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they would not have been disabled had they not entered the warfare that brought about the disability.
There you go. Yeah. And I do want to take a minute for the veterans out there who have benefited, myself included, you know, I'm not going to, from the PAC Act. We need to stand up for veterans' benefits. And if they bring the machete out to chop those away, we need to do it professionally. I've known Congressman Neal for a very long time. And when I was on Capitol Hill for a while before they found out I really didn't know what I was doing, they kicked me off. But anyhow, he's always been professional, collegial, and factual. Now, that's not because I like the guy. That's because that's his tradition. I'll give you a free interview on this program if you can tell and show me, copy, how many times the congressman has been on the Sunday morning programs. There.
You're right.
I know. I don't give away interviews for nothing except for you. But seriously, what do you think will be the common point?
Well, my guess is that the president's numbers have already begun to slump on the economy. And part of that is because I think that people are looking at what's happened to their 401k. They're looking at the idea that he campaigned on the issue that inflation somehow was a Biden issue, not an international one. It was an international issue. The world was impacted by inflation. And by the way, another small but critical fact, The Economist magazine and Financial Times, hardly left-leaning publications.
Oh, yeah.
They both said 6 weeks ago, that America's economy was the, quote, envy of the world.
Yeah.
16 million jobs in the last 4 years. Unemployment rate of 4%. And by the way, inflation at the time Biden left at 3%.
Yeah.
And I think what's troubling about this is, as we live in this Orwellian age, that you just have to invent the language and then say it's a fact. And I think that this recessionary trend that the president now, as of the last couple of days, seems to be suggesting it's okay because it'll be worth the long-term investment. Well, you know what? I think a lot of people get hurt during a recession. And if unemployment goes up substantially, people really get hurt. So you might want to, I would advise maybe the viewers in the next few days, the Federal Reserve Board's decision is going to make a major impact because they survey all of this information. They might hold a Democrat or Republican designation, but they're independent minded. They are insulated for good reason from politics. And so we'll see what the Federal Reserve Board has to say about the latest data. But what's troubling to me is it's the callousness with which a recession is discussed. The Secretary of Treasury is a multi-billionaire. The Secretary of Commerce is a multi-billionaire. The president says he's a multi-billionaire. Well, you know what? You can sustain recessions. But people every day, if that unemployment rate begins to bump up substantially.
Yeah.
Recall during the worst moments of the pandemic, it went to 15%. and we provided the necessary sustenance for those individuals to make sure there was a paycheck, to make sure there was food on the table, to make sure the lights were on, the heat was turned on. I think that's one of the major accomplishments we've had. And to listen to this ridicule and belittlement of what happened gives lie to the fact that Biden's presidency was ineffectual. It was not. We had a good run. No question his health was an issue. No doubt about that.
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah.
But not to miss the point, the economy performed very well during his 4 years.
And I think, if I may, to reinforce what you're saying, the country was in a shambles with COVID-19.
Exactly right.
It was in this was an unprecedented situation. Everybody talks about, well, you know, how about Spanish flu back then? The population wasn't anywhere of where it is now. Not only that, we did not have the manufacturing. All the people lost their jobs, stayed home, dole this. Jobs gone, restaurants closed forever.
Restaurants are doing pretty well right now.
Yeah, they are. They are. They're coming back. Yeah. Thanks, Fat Boy. But I think too often that gets forgotten when they talk about the Biden years and the frivolous spending. I wouldn't say that it was frivolous, because we, sir, thanks to you, are still looking at the last portions of the money that you provide, the $40 million, I believe, to help out the city to continue on.
All those communities across Berkshire County received ARPA money.
Yeah, ARPA, thank you.
And with the ARPA money, they were able to do things they had not been able to do in years. It was money well spent, and the investments will pay off in the future. But you and I know something about investments. Sometimes you have to wait for the return.
Yeah.
But when you look at what we were able to do across the board with that federal assistance, people actually were given some hope. And before you knew it, because it's hard to believe that we're already in the fifth anniversary of what happened during the pandemic. But you remember, I was in the Berkshires making sure those people had the checks on the most grim days.
Yes, you were. And I was there.
Yes, had not been vaccinated. You had not been vaccinated because Operation Warp Speed had not occurred yet.
Right.
But we needed to make sure that those businesses stayed functioning, kept the lights on. And again, I'm going to use a word that I've used frequently because it's accurate, and that is, it was grim.
Yes. Yes, it was grim, and it was frightening for people who could think above that level of just being worrying about pen. It was grim because we didn't know what the future was. It going to get worse?
Right.
Was it this? So we had a government that came together, which, in my opinion, government's supposed to do when things are bad, and helped out. Now some people are quick to criticize. Where the heck were they in the midst when the bullets were flying? Where were they?
Yeah. Well, you're right. And that's the part of it is, I mean, it's always easy to be an expert in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We're all good at
absolutely
describing what happened.
I get criticized. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Now shading the opinion for some of these folks who took the money, accepted it gladly. And I don't recall anybody saying, well, I want to send this back, because they needed that money, as I said earlier, for heat, light, food, all of those things.
Yeah.
And I think that what we were able to do, and by the way, with the Secretary of the Treasury, who was a Republican, who with Speaker Pelosi and I, we wrote that legislation. Nobody was complaining about it at the time.
No.
And I hear now, well, it was too much money. The tax cuts, that's what was too much money, as far as I'm concerned. Those tax cuts in 2017 went to the people at the top, tax cuts in 201, tax cuts in 203. And in 201 and 203 with those tax cuts, Bill, how about the fact that we were engaged in Iraq and Afghanistan and we were cutting taxes back home? That never happened before in American history.
No, I sit back and I sometimes you're not going to believe this, because you realize that you of all people realize I don't have any filters. But there are times that I have to sit back and bite my tongue, because I learned from your friend, Sergeant Thomas Fitzgerald, of the Springfield Police Department.
I saw him recently.
Oh, DJ is a good man. Yeah.
Great guy. He did a terrific job as chief of police here.
He did a terrific job running the academy I was in. Believe me, I was prepared when I left because of Tommy Fitzgerald and others that were in there.
Well, you know what? I think he rather than Joe Friday, I think he's the one that invented the statement, just the facts, ma'am.
Yeah. Oh, that's here's another thing. You can't have a legitimate argument with a fool or a drunk. So just make up your mind what you're going to do and do it. Well, now, you know, I don't deal with too many drunks because I only went to one St. Patrick's Day party. But when people are just talking malarkey, just talking talking points that they heard from on TV or on the radio, I here's what I do. I got to run. You know, I got to because I just really want people to, and you just said it, let's deal with the facts. I'm an old cop. We got a situation in Pittsfield. I wrote a letter. I'll get it to Jack. I wrote a letter to the editor about a situation going on in Pittsfield where there's accusations. You know, I was a cop for a long time. I know a lot of people have been accused of stuff, and when it got to court, and that's what's happening here too. There's no substantiation of the charge, of the accusation.
Well, I mean, that's the other part of what you've described is now this assault on media. I mean, the media is supposed to be the referee. They're supposed to sift and sort and present the facts based on analysis.
Yeah.
It would inform the public debate considerably if they were allowed to do their job. And now this notion that the media, that somehow that they're the enemy of the people. There are a lot of days I don't like what the media does. But guess what? In a representative democracy, they are essential. And, you know, as you've just said, in a courtroom, it's adversarial. Both present their cases, and a judge of independent mind makes the determination.
There you go. Or a jury of people, your peers.
Your peers.
And I think sometimes we forget that. We're going to have to take a quick break. For those people that don't recognize the good-looking guy, his name is Congressman Richard Neal. I'm the old fat ball guy that does this, try to do it once a week, you know. We'll be right back. We are WTBR 89.7 FM. And, Congressman, you'll be happy to know, and I think perhaps with a little bit of your help or one of your people, we are now broadcasting on 88.1 in Southern Berkshire.
Right.
Yeah, no, it really is, and we're so happy about it. We will be right back with Congressman Neal. Please stay tuned. As I like to say, why do we have the people say, why do you have those politicians on? Because I want you to hear it from their mouths.
Yeah, exactly.
Not somebody cleaned it up for you or dirtied it up, whatever.
Right.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Nominate someone today for a Berkshire Nonprofit Award. The Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires is presenting the 8th Annual Berkshire Nonprofit Awards in May. The awards recognize exceptional work being done by individuals in the nonprofit sector. There's 8 award categories, including youth leadership, lifetime achievement, and the newest category, first-class fundraiser. Nominations are due by March 12th. Find tips and nomination forms online at npcberkshires.org.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy you see there, his name is Congressman Richard Neal. He represents Berkshire County, Pittsfield, all of Western Mass. And we are here today trying to sort out fact and fiction. And I know some of you will maybe not agree, and that's okay.
Sure.
It's okay to disagree, but not be disagreeable. You know, I've been doing this program now. I was just for almost 20, not this particular one, but on air for 20 years. And I started with this premise. Anybody has the right to be on my program, and we can disagree, but I won't tolerate disagreeability. And I won't be disagreeable. So there you go. And Congressman Neal, he's, and I mean this as a compliment, because I see so many people there that, in my humble opinion, oh, by the way, the views and opinions on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way, represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White, in the city council, and all the people that are getting their bicycles tuned up for the oncoming summer. But what do you think the challenge, how are we going to get through this?
Well, I think that the numbers for the president are beginning to slump. And I think that at some point, if that continues, which I assume it will, then that means that there's a potential to fracture some of the Republicans in the House from the president's grip. When you consider that he's stronger with the Republican Party in the House and the Senate than he was in his first term.
Right.
And they seem almost afraid. And I consider it to be sort of what we call the old Machiavellian principle, which many of us understood with his writings. And Machiavelli said, half the people can love you, half the people can loathe you, but they all need to be afraid of you. And I think that's what's happened to Republicans across the country, the ones in the House of Representatives. They've embraced this because they're afraid to say anything. And I can tell you that's very different than what they will say in the hallways when they roll their eyes. But they are intimidated to the point of being afraid of having a primary.
He says,
I'm going to get you a primary if they fall out of line. This will all change in the next few months when their opponents start coming out of the woodwork and they start showing up and questioning some of these statements that have been made for their validity. And I think that kind of clever two-step that some of them are using, that will, I think, fall by the wayside once they have somebody challenging what it is they're saying.
One of the questions, do you think, for all your experience in the, do you think they will be able to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and VA benefits?
I don't know. My bet is that it's going to be really difficult for them to do that. You know, there are certain benefits that people complain about in government, but not the ones that they enjoy. That changes the argument.
And I know veterans who need this. Just to survive. Well, I mean, none of them are buying Teslas.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you, every time that I come down Route 91, Bill, and I look at that soldier's home now that's rising out of the ground.
Yeah.
Remember, $265 million from Congress for me putting into that building.
Yeah.
People are thinking we're going to cut those benefits. Not a chance. I mean, with no help from me, and I'm not going to vote to cut 10 cents from Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, and I thank you for that, and I'm glad you got it. I want the people to hear that right from you.
Yeah.
And I can say I know Congressman Neal so well. I know he won't cut these, but now they've heard it from you. And I think more of your colleagues on both sides of the aisle, and I understand the other side, but rather than screaming and dancing and fighting and all this other malarkey, it's me saying, the Irish mother would say, right after St. Patrick's Day, malarkey. But seriously, come together. I guess this is from an old man to a group of younger people. Present a professional attitude. You don't need to use swear words. You don't need to be in the gutter. This guy you're looking at right here has never been in the gutter. He's always been on the top shelf fighting for us. And I'll say that to anybody about Congressman Neal.
Well, let's be honest about all of it, too. I mean, on my own side, I've been critical of those who said defund the police.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard those on my side saying open borders.
Yeah.
The American people object to open borders, and the American people don't want the police defunded.
Exactly.
And in that last election, if there's anybody who thinks that those statements helped us, they're making an awful mistake. I firmly oppose those positions. Yeah. I think there's a rule. You need to know who's in the country. You need to know who's being maintained for in the country. And the other part of it, I think, is essential. We need immigrants.
Yeah.
But we need a process for getting them into the rightful role. I mean, your grandparents, my grand, they had to go through a system.
That's right. They sent my auntie back at Ellis Island. She came with her sister, my grandmother, and my grandfather. She coughed coming down the plank.
Yeah, that's
right. Put her right back on the ship because they were so afraid of tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis, that was the issue.
Yeah, eight years later, she got over again.
So the immigrants that I talked to who have been here for 50 years, 60 years, who we depend on because they're great artisans, you know, shoemakers, barbers, you know, hair salons, you name it, street workers and all, they will, I mean, street workers in the best sense, those who repair the street. But they are the individuals who came through a process. And then they entered America, took gainful employment, raised great families. We need to remind each other that St. Patrick was an immigrant as well.
That's right. That's right. And I won't take a personal offense at the hairdresser barber comment. But no, seriously, you're right. And they assimilated.
They assimilated.
They assimilated. We just need, I hate to say this, and I know it sounds honky, but we need to put civility back in our discussions.
Well, that won't come for those who are devoted to social media and cable TV. I can tell you that because those folks benefit from keeping the conflict going. The louder, the better it is.
Clicks.
Some of them.
Clicks, they call them.
They want attention.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the idea that much of it, what I see with it's social promotion for a lot of them. They promote themselves as opposed to addressing the issue and the argument in front of us. So when you hear this argument, Democrats need to do this, Democrats need to do that, Democrats need to be Democrats. And get back in contact with working class people because those are the ones we've lost at the national level. The local level, they're fine with me and always will be because they know I've been as loyal to
You've
them as have been to me.
But I've been there forever.
And, you know, recently we were able to get the WEP issue straightened out for them. You know, you look at those sorts of issues, that requires a lot of patience. It took me almost 20 years to get that WEP issue straightened out.
Yeah.
But I stayed at it and at it and at it. And the president noted that, President Biden noted that the day that he signed the legislation. We were at the White House and he singled me out for my work on it. But it wasn't me on social media and it wasn't me on the cable shows chastising anybody and everybody. It was, look, let's get this done.
I I really and truly hope that, again, and I know I repeat myself, but when you get to be 63 or however old I am, that's my waist size. I'm sorry. Put some civility back into it. And if you're the civil, like the Congressman Neal, he's facts. He's facts. Never heard him be disrespectful to anyone through the years. And I was on Capitol Hill for a few years. But what's happening is this. The civility's gone. The collegiality is gone. And I will make this statement. Correct me if you think I'm wrong, Congressman. Until we come together, until they come together, we'll be the losers.
Yeah, coupled with the fact that one of the challenges that we have in public life, and I was talking about it last evening, it is very hard in public life and in politics to look good against a bad opponent.
Yeah.
Because if you win, people say you should have won by more.
Yeah.
And if you lose, people say, well, you got outshone.
Yeah.
And the problem you have is that you could debase the arguments pretty fast if you jump into the gutter.
That's right.
I've refrained from that. I have honest and vehement disagreements with a lot of people. But I also know this, that I'm far better off trying to persuade them than I am trying to threaten them.
Yeah, and don't you think more gets accomplished?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the parts of it that's very frustrating for me is, you know, we got some big things done when I was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. Extraordinary things that were done, including the pandemic relief, including USMCA, which the president now denies, even though he signed it and lauded us at the time for it. And when you look at what we've done with Secure and Secure 2.0, when you look at what we did to help people improve their retirement standing.
Right.
And, you know, nobody ever said, well, I was chairman, we're going to threaten Social Security, because the Ways and Means Committee oversees Social Security.
Right.
I would never let that take place.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, as we go and as all of us try to get back on an even keel, and I understand, you know, there's certainly people on both sides of the party that I think should be reined in. I'm not that big a fish. So, but when, I guess the thing is, when you're addressing the public, and Congressman Neal's very good at this, always be professional. Always be, I've watched him speak many, I've watched him come up in front of the post office and give the lady kept pushing me out into the traffic. I didn't mind Margaret doing that. I couldn't avoid the cars. But I'm supposed to be neutral, but there's certain things that I can't be neutral about because I know too many of the facts.
We straightened out that retirement system at the post office and saved it.
Yeah.
Now, I hear this argument all of the time, for good reason, that there are parts of the Postal Service that's going to have to get some reforms.
Oh, yeah.
But public, meaning the people, they like the Postal Service. And
yeah.
I got to tell you, when we were able to fix that retirement plan for them, as we did with the Butch Lewis Act for people across Massachusetts who now have their pension rights restored, those are real accomplishments.
Thank you.
Yeah, those are real accomplishments.
Yeah.
Social Security issue. Those are real accomplishments. And I worry that too much of our emphasis is placed upon just social media for berating anybody that disagrees with you. And I always thought the craziest part of it was this notion, well, we'll just cancel them.
Yeah.
We'll ghost people that disagree with us.
Yeah. So
I think it's a mistake and it's a setback for democracy.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. And, you know, as people probably know, I'm pretty open. I'm pretty, you know, I voice my opinion. But I also try to be respectful. I don't disagree. I don't always agree with things that are done locally or on the national level or state level. But I look at who is impacted by them. Are they helping Joe and Mary six pack? I belong to that crowd, right? Or are they taking what little they have back? And that's how I would ask this audience. When you look at voting for someone, look at their record. Look at what they've done. If they don't have a record, what do they say they're going to do? Because that, to me, is as important as your actual vote. Be a smart voter. Be a voter. Say, and it's not selfish, but I had a guy say, well, you're just talking selfish stuff. All you think about is you. Duh. Yeah. I have to think about me, because if I don't, who won't? Who will? And Congressman, you know, when you go back to D.C., I don't envy you anymore. I used to envy you because I used to miss it. But now it's kind of tedious. That's my word, not yours.
The process now amplifies conflict. And I think that in amplified conflict, more and more of it becomes intimidation. And I think that, you know, members of Congress, Bill, they don't serve under presidents of the United States. Your job is to question presidents of the United States, regardless of party.
Right.
And look, if you agree with them, fine, I got you. But if you don't agree with them, but you're afraid to say so, that does not help representative democracy. They know the problem that's coming if they go near Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, or veterans benefits, that there's going to be a huge battle over it.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of them will be defeated next year if they embrace those positions.
Oh, I do too.
It's easy, you know, in public life to put on the seminar. You know, we're all experts on the seminar.
Yeah.
This hand and on that hand, as Harry Truman said, the problem is when you cast the vote and then you have to implement what it is you said you were going to do, then the bridge gets a lot more rickety.
You know that for a fact. And I was there when some people got voted out, and they thought they were there forever, but they took a bad stand on a very serious thing. And I have to say this too, Congressman. You spend and this is a compliment, by the way, you spend more time in the district than so many other of your colleagues who now have taken up D.C. as their second home.
Yeah,
that's scary in and of itself. But
I think 5 weekends in 37 years I've been in Washington. That's it. And I had to be there to cast certain critical votes.
Yeah.
But other than that, when I have that, when the legislative session closes, I'm out of there. I have to wait till the next morning. That's fine. But the reality is that, as you've described it, nobody in Washington, D.C. voted for me. The people back in the 1st Congressional District of Massachusetts did. So it was also, for me, it was just like being around. And I enjoy very much this whole facet of my life.
Yeah.
Like the give and take. But I also am not going to succumb to disinformation.
You're a good man. And you know, we so often, I guess, multimedia, technology, you know, there's a wonderful book, and I know you're an avid reader, and I like to think I am. If I stay awake more than two or three pages at night, it's a big night. But it's called Anxious Generation.
Yes. I've read the reviews. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I've read the book, and I tell you, it is dead on.
Is that Height? H-I-D?
Yes.
It's been on the bestseller list of the New York Times for a long time. I'd like to get to it maybe this spring or summer. Yep.
It's sold on, we have to really read it and understand it and take back. You know, when you don't see kids outside or they're outside sitting on the grass with their cell phone, I mean, I think when you and I were kids, be home when the streetlights come on, play hide and seek, tag, all these. We went to North Junior High School field almost every day in the summer and played
and walked there.
Yeah. You know, I just wonder, as a society, are we really preparing our kiddos for, like I said, I would love, and I understand, by the way, the Commonwealth, if I'm correct now, has put civics back in the curriculum.
And they should.
Yes, it should be all across, but you're not going to have a Department of Education now, so you can't edict anything.
And for reading purposes, phonics should be part of it.
Absolutely. The Polish princess will come send you her own personal donation because she said that. Because she is taught for 42 years.
She knows.
Phonics. We got kids today that, yep. You know, when I ran the youthful offender program, we had some kiddos that had high school diplomas that were reading on the second and third grade level.
Yep, there's no question about it. That's a problem. I'm going to be heading on to my next one if I can, my next meeting. So,
all I can say is if you can keep Jack in line.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Believe me, you don't have to tell me. I want to thank you, Congressman
Neal.
You are a wonderful representative of all of us. And I will say this in closing. He has never, ever forgot where he came from.
Thanks, Bill, very much.
Stay out of the hot sun and tell Mark I'll be looking for his check.
Thanks.
All right, folks, stay with me. I got some announcements. All right, first announcement. Tonight, one more time. Tonight, St. Joseph's alumni and faculty, living and deceased. Well, there's a mass. 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 19th, St. Joseph's Church in Pittsfield. 5:30. Don't worry about the deceased members. They won't be coming. There'll be plenty of room. This is also very important to me. Soldier On, an afternoon of golf, Friday, May 23rd, 2025, 2 p.m., shotgun start. You can find, this is a real, really great, great, great organization. So call Casey DeSico at 413-207-4746. Get yourself in line for that. Also, we don't want to forget, this is important to me, we don't want to forget St. Mary's Bingo. That will be on April the 12th, May the 10th, June the 14th, 12:30 p.m. Game starts at 2. It's a new time. Come support the Children of St. Mary's full bingo program, charitable lottery games, great bingo, 50-50. Cash prizes can be set up, can be up to $599. If you have any questions, you can call 413-243-1079. Have a wonderful day. God bless. And today, let's help somebody lift their burden. There's a lot of people out there who are struggling. See if we can help them. We're all in this together. Let's not forget that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching, and God bless, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye. St. Joe's Mass tonight, 5:30.